Listener Production.
Hello and welcome to Footy Talk for your Monday. Footy Talk is your place for all the latest news, interviews and analysis from the world of AFL. I'm Jay Clark, joined by Abby Holmes. We got so much to talk about. What on earth is happening up there at Brisbane Grand Final last year? Sliding down the ladder, Sammy Mitchell. Doesn't he look like a frustrated man? Who's the best player in the competition, Jeremy Cameron or Isaac Heaney? We'll talk about those two stars. And there are some fascinating matchups this weekend. St Kilda or North Melbourne, who's closer to a flag? We're going to discuss that in a second on Footy Talk. Yes, hello and welcome to Footy Talk for your Monday. Footy Talk is your place for the latest news, interviews and analysis from the world of AFL. My name is Jay Clark and I'm joined by the queen of our screens on Channel 7. She can do it all. It's Abby Holmes, and you can hear some tropical birds or parrots in the background. It's because she's in far north Queensland or in some sunny part of the country. Where are you, Abby? Good morning.
Oh, hello. Always great to see you, Jay-Z. I'm coming to you from Noosa.
Beautiful.
Today.
Yep.
So big weekend, as we know. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Jumped on a plane on Saturday morning and came up here to catch up with some girlfriends. So it's been lovely.
Oh, that's fun, isn't it? Aren't we lucky that we get to call footy work? Isn't it just such an amazing professional?
It's a dream.
This is the dream job. This is why we love doing it. And I love catching up with you on a Monday because there are some big stories out of the weekend's round. And I just look forward to this weekend as well. This round coming up, I think, is the round of the year. The game this weekend are absolutely unbelievable. If it gets better than this at any point this season, I will be shocked. We got the showdown, of course, on Thursday night, must watch. Carlton versus Collingwood on Friday. The Battle of the Bridge on Saturday. And somehow for this, Sydney is favourite. I think GWS should be favourite. St Kilda versus North Melbourne, two teams trying to climb up the ladder. Melbourne versus Geelong is blockbuster. West Coast versus Essendon over there in Perth. Who's going to win that? Richmond, Freo, Western Bulldogs, Hawthorn, and then the Q clash up north. Isn't that a 10 out of 10 round of footy?
Bath watering, isn't it? Round 8. And we were just speaking off air as well. It's now come a point in time where you can start taking a look at the ladder, reading into that a little bit more as things are starting to take shape. But I am a proud South Australian,
yes,
as we all know, Jay-Z. Mm. So that showdown Thursday night, cannot wait. As we know from Friday night, Port Adelaide with some significant injuries to some key cogs. So it's going to be a very interesting matchup. And Adelaide have actually had the upper hand against Port in recent years. So they'll be confident coming into this one after a good win against North Melbourne.
Well, the betting odds are quite even. I think Port Adelaide should win this. I know Rosie looks like he's going to miss with a hamstring. Geez, we all feel sorry for Semi Powell Pepper, of course,
yep,
out of the year with the ACL. But I still think Port should have the goods to win that. Kicking off an absolute monster round, but we like to start with the Bunsen burner. And I feel like the blowtorch is firing up for the first time, and Sam Mitchell and his Hawks. They were smashed off the park, I thought, by Sydney yesterday, and it continues a pretty torrid season for a club who was trying to climb up off the bottom of the ladder and really make some progress in 2024. Are you worried about Hawthorn?
I am, and it pains me to say it. Hawthorn have always started slow in games, which is quite strange, over the past 12 months, and then they've generally worked their way into it and been quite competitive towards the end. But after what I saw against the Sydney Swans yesterday, I am a little bit concerned. What year is it for Sam?
Three.
You would know. Three?
Yep.
Yeah, year three. So you know that they're in a rebuild phase. They've got some quality young kids coming through. Unfortunately, a number of injuries which swept through their camp throughout a pre-season, which certainly doesn't help. But yeah, I'm a little concerned about the Hawks. And we saw Sam Mitchell, the raw emotion yesterday, in the way that he absolutely blasted Scrimshaw after choosing the wrong kick and trying to bite off a little bit too much. But you can just see as well the frustrations, the emotion, things aren't playing out well for Hawthorn early in the season. And I just feel like there's such a big gap between their best footy and their worst footy, whereas we do want to see a little bit more consistency from them. But that comes as well when you've got your A-grade team on the park week in, week out. And as I said, with those injuries, it's not a luxury that they have at the moment.
Smashed by the Swans at the weekend. Isaac Heaney could be another three votes for him. He is having an extraordinary year. 3 goals, 20-odd possessions, did the damage on the MCG. He could be streaking ahead in this year's Brownlow. He's going to be the one to watch early. There's no doubt about that. So the Hawks...
We needed to see that from him, though, didn't we? A bounce back. Because last year, he didn't have the best season. We know what he's been capable of for a number of years, but he was very quiet last year. We needed him to come out and go bang, and he certainly did that early in the season.
I think he's been a bit of a tease for the whole of his career until this point, to be honest. I don't think he's played to his potential. Hasn't had that Jordan Ngoi-style breakout explosion until this year, which has been absolutely superb to watch. He is my youngest son's favourite player, and he's delivering nicely. So the Hawthorn take on the Western Bulldogs at Marvel Stadium. So under the lid, it's fascinating to think about what the Hawks can do from here, because the word on the street is that they're very into Bailey Smith from the Bulldogs, who they play this weekend. Bailey's obviously out with his knee. But another midfielder, is that what they need? I think they're so under strength, basically, or so weak at either end, particularly in that defensive side. I just wonder, in terms of their draft capital, you know, is another midfielder coming off a knee what they need? It's going to be a fascinating one to watch. I think it's a three-club race for Bailey Smith, with Collingwood, Geelong and Hawthorn. And just at the moment, it does sound like the Hawks are going to be right in it. What would Western Bulldogs want? You'd think they'd want a top 10 or a first round pick. So that'll be interesting. But it's much like North Melbourne. How are they going to get really bolster that defense and that forward 50 to be able to go up the ladder as a club?
And I loved what we've seen from Jack Ginnivan early in the season. He's come in and his impact. You can just see that he's a kind of player that week in, week out is going to give you 110%. Will Day, whilst he's just one player, him missing from that midfield has been a massive deficit for Hawthorn in the way that they really run that midfield group. So when they can get him back fit and firing, he will make a big impact. Marbia Chole, as we saw him crossing over from the Suns to the Hawks, he's been competitive, but they probably need a little bit more of an output from him in front of goal. But you're right. They certainly do need, or they'll be on the hunt for, a really good quality midfielder to help the likes of Jai Newcombe and Warpole, the guys around the footy, a little bit more.
Geelong, a nice win over Carlton. Got the Chocolates by 13 points. Jeremy Cameron, 5 goals. He's kicked his 600th. Now we're talking about whether he can reach the 1,000 club. If he could push forward as a sort of a deep key forward when he's 36, 37, 38, you never know whether he could kick 1,000. He's in extraordinary form, probably the number one player in the competition, up there with Isaac, as we mentioned earlier. But they're going to be missing Paddy Dangerfield for at least a month, Abby. He's done the hamstring now certainly twice this year. He's had a long history of soft tissue injuries. So they're going to have to rejig that midfield, aren't they? And they've got a tough run. So the Cats have got Melbourne, Port Adelaide, Gold Coast, GWS, Richmond and Sydney. That's not easy coming up. Are they going to be able to hold the line, the Cats? Because they look like one of the two premiership favourites.
I think over the past few weeks, we've been saying that Geelong have had a pretty soft draw early in the season. And this is a big period coming up for them with some really quality opposition. I loved what they did against the Blues on the weekend. And the exciting thing for Geelong is that they're not reliant upon Paddy Dangerfield and his dominance in the midfield to get it done. Their kids are stepping up. Max Holmes, as we know, signed that 4-year extension because he is going to be a superstar of the competition for a long period of time. Tanner Bruin has certainly lifted as well. They got back Guthrie into that midfield too. So I don't think it's panic stations with Paddy Dangerfield out again.
Yep.
I think the Cats have the cattle ready to roll through there that can certainly get the job done.
Would you consider, though, is it time to start thinking about playing Paddy forward? We've felt inevitable, really, it would happen at some point of his career, the end point of his career. If he's going to continue to get these hamstring injuries playing as that explosive midfielder, does it start get to the point where you start considering more as a forward target?
Well, it might be something that they have to look at. You look at Jake Stringer, for example, who plays majority of his match minutes in the forward line, but he can come up to a centre bounce and impact dramatically. So that might be something that they have to look at just to protect the longevity of Paddy Dangerfield in his career moving forward. But him as the competitive beast that we know, I don't think Chris Scott would like to have that conversation with him.
It's going to be interesting. They play on Melbourne, who have the absolute midfield quality, don't they? We talk about Kasai Pickett, Christian Petrarca is one of the best players in the competition. Clayton Oliver, at the start of the year, Geelong was talked about, question mark on that midfield depth. And now they come up against probably just about their best combination in it. So currently Geelong's favourite for that game at the MCG. I think that might tighten right up without danger by the time that game kicks off, on Saturday night. Big test for Melbourne too, because I feel like they've been going just 50-50. You know, I haven't been a full believer in them just yet, but if they can knock off the Cats, then that puts them right back up into the mix.
Definitely. And that Anzac Eve contest didn't reach any great heights, did it?
It was horrific, Abby. I know you're a star broadcaster. You can say it's the worst game I've ever seen. I had to leave. It was so bad.
How good was Stephen May post-game as well? Just being like, I feel sorry for each and every one of you at home who had to be subjected to that.
Yep.
Loved that from Maisie. But, yeah, look, it's a big test. Two top four teams for the Ds, as you said, that midfield mix is just working in season well. Clayton Oliver had that. The finger surgery, and he looked better straight up in the midfield against the Tigers. So looking forward to that one.
Let's talk about Brisbane because after playing in the grand final, so close to a flag, a bounce of the ball, you know, seal side bottom goal, the Jordan Degelli piece of magic, it cost Brisbane a premiership. And now they sit 2-5 coming into round 8. A Q clash against a much improved Gold Coast side. It's not going to be easy. And now there's starting to be a bit of chatter about Chris Fagan, you know, whether he can still do it. Do they have the quality? Has complacency set in? Remember all the talk at the start of the season about the trip to America and fractures within the group? It was all allegations. Well, if you look at on field, you know, that they are performing like a team which isn't as hungry, which isn't as capable. So what's your take on the Lions? And do you think they can still try and limp into the 8?
Well, they're just lacking that connection piece that we've seen over the last 5 years from them, isn't it? And a saving grace for them heading into round 8. This game is at the Gabba because, as we know, the Suns just don't lose at home at the moment. But, yeah, for me it's the forward half connection piece that's missing. You know, you've got forwards that are not working for each other. The midfield are trying their hearts out as they do each and every week. But it's just there's something not working in that forward half. Eric Hipwood, I don't know, he's just not in the form that we expect from him. So is it a case of them actually needing to drop him back to the VFL to try and regain some confidence, to get some ball in hand, to come back up to the AFL and hopefully explode? I think there's got to be a few tough conversations within the four walls of the Brisbane Lions Football Club. And, as you said, there's been a lot of hot conversation around their off-season and what might have gone on, but the connection piece is just lacking, and that's something that we haven't seen over the past 2 years in particular.
Now, it's going to be interesting because Fags has not made a lot of strong statements at selection over the journey.
No,
shown a lot of
he
faith.
He needs to.
Yeah, confidence. So it will be interesting to see whether they can, whether they'll change up much. Joey Montagna said on Fox Footy last night whether their game style needs a tweak. They do have Levi Ashcroft coming in, and with his brother last year and Jasper Fletcher, like when you look more long-term at Brisbane, you think, well, who are their next sort of key forwards and key backs? Who's going to take over from Harris Andrews? The midfield looks good going forward.
Yeah,
that looks set for the next sort of 5 years, etc. But I think there is a query on whether they need to start looking at some younger key position stocks or developing those. So they do have options, as you say, to bring in someone for Eric Hipwood if he is not getting the job done. I am fascinated, Abby, by this North Melbourne St Kilda game coming up, because you got North Melbourne, whose defensive profile at the moment, they got smacked by the Crows, Adelaide, 57 points down there in Tassie. Only 4,000 people went and watched, mind you, which will be ringing some alarm bells off at HQ. But that defensive profile, and I think we flagged it pre-season, like, it is all-time horrific. Like, they are getting scored against like we rarely see the Kangaroos backline. And I know we've talked a lot about the midfield talent, etc. But gee whiz, if Max King and the crew can't take a mark and kick a goal this weekend against North Melbourne on Saturday, they are really struggling.
Is King coming back in? We hope he is.
I believe he will be, although they've said that the past 2 weeks.
The exciting thing for North Melbourne is their young rebounders that are coming through. You look at Harry Sheezel and what he's done now over a season and 7 games. McKercher, once again, 32 disposals. The drive, the run and carry that he provides is exciting, but you're right, that key defensive unit is getting absolutely slaughtered by some opposition forward lines. And yeah, if the Saints are up and about, they're in some trouble.
But if you're a North Melbourne fan, you look at the building blocks in the future. So they've got 8 top 10 picks at North Melbourne. So you know that Wardlaw, Sheezel, LDU, you know, there is some things.
They're the future.
Yeah, they're the future, right? At St Kilda, they've got 1 top 10 pick. They've got Mateus Philippou. So when you're looking at these two sides, when they clash on Saturday, who do you think's closer to a flag, Abby? If you had to pick one of these two teams to win their premiership next, do you pick North Melbourne, who's got 8 top 10 picks, or do you pick St Kilda, who are trying to get everything out of what they've got but clearly don't have that high-end quality? For me, that'll be the big spotlight on Saturday. Which of these two clubs are closer to a premiership? Because North Melbourne's got it done at the draft way, and then St Kilda are going to have to find it another way. They're going to have to bring in trades and free agents, because unless they go and sink to the bottom for the next 6 years, they're not going to have the same high-end talent because they're competitive enough to a level. And we saw that against Port Adelaide at the weekend, got within 10 points. Who would you be picking?
That's a really tough one, actually, and it's a hot debate. Look, obviously St Kilda are closer as it stands.
Yeah, but long-term?
But long-term, definitely North Melbourne.
Yeah.
You can't argue with the talent that they've obtained through the draft.
Yeah.
And if they can lock down some big trades, some big names to come over in those key positions and really assist the likes of Larky, I think there's a lot of upside with North Melbourne in the years to come.
Yep, it's going to be interesting for the Saints, because that midfield, it needs some spark. Without Liam Henry, where is the line-breaking run, the polish, all that sort of stuff at the moment? It's very much Crouch, Ross, Jack Steele, who are warriors and workhorses, but where is that absolute A-grade polish? And if they're going to be competitive, you know, and 10 wins a season, 12 wins a season, how are they going to get that top-end talent without going to the draft? There's going to be some big offers. I think they're going to make some players some very rich boys, that's for sure. So they might I think they're going to throw the kitchen sink, the laundry, the lounge room and the attic at Luke Davies Uniacke. He's a Bayside boy. His family's down there. He's got the size, he's got the power, he's got the speed in the inside. St Kilda need Luke Davies Uniacke. They're going to cross paths on Saturday, and I think they're going to try and make him an offer he can't refuse. Now, if you're Luke Davies Uniacke on Saturday and you're at North Melbourne, you're looking around at all these kids, we just mentioned them.
Yeah.
But the defence, which is a massive problem, and he's won 18 games in 91, right? So he's really struggled. He's had no team success throughout the first 8 years of his career. He'll be thinking at contract time for next year, where am I best placed to have some success? And that is why everyone will be looking at Geelong at the moment going, they've done it again. How do they keep doing this? So Hugh McCluggage is at Brisbane, who's a free agent this year, holding off on a new deal. He's a country boy from Victoria. As if he's not, and the Cats need midfield depth, as if Hugh McCluggage isn't looking at Geelong and not thinking, this would be in a pretty attractive option if he is to come home. So as we approach this mid-season break, and that's when players start meeting clubs a little bit on the sly, things really begin to take shape.
Definitely. And ultimately, as players, we play to win premierships. It's all well and good to be a one-team player and whatnot, but if you are Luke Davies Uniacke, who's been at North Melbourne now for a number of years, and you can't, I guess, see the return on your commitment and your dedication, then absolutely you're going to look elsewhere. And for Geelong, they've never been through that rebuild, particularly, you know, under the leadership of Chris Scott. So, yeah, I think Geelong in general is a wonderful destination for so many players.
Yeah.
But, it's going to be a very interesting watch.
And we talk about Chris Scott a lot, the best coach in the competition.
Yeah.
As if he's not getting the best out of Grind Myers, as if he's not getting the best out of Brad Close. Like, Jeremy Cameron's looking like Buddy Franklin. Like, he's thinking that's the best decision he's ever made. He's won a flag, he goes to the Cats, and he's the number one player in the competition. If you go to Geelong, the trend is you become your best version of yourself. You become the best player you can be.
Totally. Brandon Parfitt, a perfect example of this. So he's been on the fringe the last few years,
yep,
just kind of biding his time, waiting for the opportunity to open. But what we're seeing from him over the past, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, you know, Chris Scott and his coaching group is taking these players to another level, and that's really exciting to see.
It's going to be interesting at the Western Bulldogs. Cody Waitman out with that elbow. He might be out for 3 months. He's had that this lingering elbow problem that might need surgery, which will rule him out for a little while. Jamara Ugle-Hagan should be back in for the Dogs, which is a huge boost for Rory Lobb. Tommy Liberatore is a late withdrawal. He'll be back in from illness, so they get some players back. The Bulldogs, who just continue to be so inconsistent, it's frustrating. Jack Higgins will face the tribunal tomorrow night. St Kilda will appeal that, Abby. So he got 3 matches for that dumping tackle, the dangerous tackle on Aaliyah. I'd be surprised if he gets off, to be honest. I think they're going to have a big crack at it. I think it's hard for the league and the MRO to set a consistent bar around this with the framework to try and spits out consistent results. So I feel like the 3-match ban will stand, but where do you sit on it?
I think it's got to stand. That was a cut and dry example of what they're trying to iron out of the game. So unfortunately, Jack Higgins had that arm of Aaliyah pinned, which ultimately meant he was concussed. He was subbed out of the game and will be missing a minimum, 12 days.
Yep.
So he'll miss the showdown. Yep. But I think that 3-match needs to stand because that's the perfect example, actually, of what they don't want to see.
I think from the AFL perspective, they need the player who does the wrong thing missing more footy than the player who has been hurt, which we know is the standard. You mentioned the standard concussion rule. Before we go, Abby, where do you stand on the draw? Some question marks about the Pies and some of the veterans, whether it's Steel Side, Bottom and Jeremy Howe, whether they'll go on, etc. It's going to be a fascinating 2 months at Collingwood. The Bombers continue to improve, but how are you left feeling on the final siren?
As a broadcaster, I hate it because you kind of have in your mind the questions you're going to pose to different players should different teams win.
Yep.
And then it's a very weird feeling when you go out there and it's a draw and everybody's flat. And as Pendle said to me post-game on Thursday as well, extra time?
Yep.
And Dimmer put it out there, which I really liked. He's a firm believer of next goal wins. So yep. Not behind. It has to be a goal. I think I would like to see extra time. But Matty Richardson on Friday night, he was firm. He 2 points each. Take them and bank them. Because at least you are getting some level of advantage from a draw.
I'm in the minority. I like the draw. It's a weird ass feeling. I love it. I know we don't know where to look. You look at your kids. They don't know what's going on. I find it's a strange feeling. Only happens a couple of times a year, and I like it. I like the confusion. Everyone doesn't know where to look or what to do,
it.
Which is fantastic. So I think keep it, and it is sort of extra time anyway. With in case you get a result. All right, Abby, you've been fantastic. Enjoy up the sunshine and the tropical bird life and everything else. The beaches up there at Noosa. And we will see you next week.
Thank you very much. Great to see you.
That's Abby Holmes, the queen of our screens. I'm Jay Clark. Thanks so much for joining us on Footy Talk. The St Kilda Mafia, Nick Riewoldt, and little Lee Montagna will be talking all things AFL, the big news stories, and what to look forward to this weekend. Thanks for joining us on Footy Talk.
Listener.